You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome to the Nature Connection Show. You're listening to Natural Health Radio. My name is Sarah Turner, and I'm delighted to welcome today's guest to Nature Connections, Judy Hall. Now, Judy is a very well-known author, psychic healer, and karmic astrology. Welcome to Nature Connections, Judy.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's very exciting that you're here sharing with us all about your new Crystal Prescriptions book, or books, I should say. And what we're going to do today is talk to you about your love and passion and for crystals, and share with people who are listening how they can help us, not just in the traditional ways, but just trying to open up this amazing window of how the stones speak to us. So maybe you can share with us, how did you first start working with them? How did they speak to you?
Well, this is something someone always asks me, and you know, it goes back so far, it's really difficult to answer that, because as a child, I would pick up crystals or stones. I mean, they didn't have to be bright, shiny, faceted crystals as we would think of them. They could be bits of milk quartz, all sorts of things like that. And I'd carry them around with me, or I'd have them in my possession. And then as I got older, I started to collect crystals, because I found a fascinating character. He's long gone now, but he was a huge man who sat in the corner of his shop on a stool, and his shop, long before crystal shops, had oil barrels of crystals and bits of stone and goodness knows what. And he'd refused to tell you what they were, and he certainly wouldn't have thought about what they did. But I used to buy them, take them home, and when I was doing my astrology, and I always did my astrology from a distance to people, I didn't do it face to face, I would put stones on the chart. And I was also doing past life regression with people, and if there was something that they came up against that was difficult or traumatic, I'd give them a crystal to hold. And then one day, I realised that actually the crystals were doing things. So I'd been doing it completely intuitively up to that stage. And I wanted to know more. I wanted to identify the stones. I knew some of them, and I'd actually worked on a couple of books which are now out of print. But I needed something to help me remember as much as anything else. And that's how I came to write the Crystal Bible. And then having done that, the lovely John Hunt rang me up and said, we need a dictionary of stones to help symptoms and problems. Do you want to write it? And I said, yes, please. And that's how Crystal Prescriptions was born. So really, it all came out of what I'd been doing and what I needed to help me continue my work and hopefully share it with other people as well. And Crystal Prescriptions has now gone into 3 volumes. The first one was the very basic everyday crystals, and a lot of physical and emotional, mental problems, in quotes, shall we say, that they could assist with. But then, because so many new high vibration crystals have been coming my way, people send them to me to be assessed. And I was using those in workshops as well, and we were exploring all these expanded states of consciousness. I thought, it's time for volume 2. And then because I'm highly sensitive to electromagnetics, and I've always been interested in the effect of those and geopathic stress, and I've done some earth healing books. Volume 3 very quickly followed, and we'll be out at Christmas on crystal solutions to EMF and geopathic stress.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So needed. Isn't it amazing how how you're able to, you're really kind of bringing through, aren't you, all these lovely vibrations to us and allowing us to use them in very practical ways as well.
Well, that's it. There's no point in having a lovely crystal sitting around. Yes, it's beautiful to look at, but it's got so much more potential, so much more possibility. And I think they work very quietly, with, even if you haven't asked them, their crystals will work for you. But it's so much more exciting if you start interacting with them and you find out what they can do for you. And this sounds silly from someone who's written quite a few books saying, this is what crystals do. But I always try and say, and they'll do so much more if you allow them to work with you. And this is, to me, this is where crystal work really is going. It's like these new high vibration crystals are coming in to say, come on, wake up. There's so much more to us. We can really help you expand your awareness. And people talk a lot about ascension. And really, to me, that is not about floating off this planet on some spaceship with some ascended masters. It's about actually expanding your consciousness and grounding it here on Earth. And it's something I really keep saying and emphasize to people in workshops, you know, we have got to ground this into the planet because the planet needs healing. It's been through quite a lot, and to say the least. And if we ground the energies, we live on this planet. We're part of this planet. We're part of an ecosystem. Let's keep the planet healthy, keep us healthy in many senses, not just on the physical level, but spiritually as well. And this is what the crystals are saying they're here to do.
Mm. How amazing, isn't it? Well, it makes complete sense, isn't it? They are beings of the earth. They come from the earth. So it makes complete sense, even from a very sort of a layperson's perspective, that they can actually allow us to bring these extraordinary energies that we're all experiencing right now through our bodies and right into the earth.
Yes, and to me, you know, one of the things I did a little while ago was an MA in cultural astronomy and astrology, which basically meant it gave me a chance to get hold of all the academic papers and to look at some books that weren't otherwise available. To go right back, I was researching the history of birthstones and the use of crystals for healing. And it goes right back 5,000 years, 7,000 years. But what I love was the fact that back then, crystals were the home of the gods. In fact, in Egypt, they were the gods incarnated. It was the form the gods took. And they were alive, they were animate, and therefore they were communicating. And this, I think, is something that we've sort of lost in the intervening years. One of my tutors called it the Endarkenment instead of the Enlightenment.
Wow.
Because he said we'd lost so much of this sense of connection with nature and connection with the stars and all of the things that go with that. Because once you realise that you are part of it, you're into really what I would call stewardship. You know, you're nurturing, you're looking after the earth, and just as it's looking after you. And one of the, I think, exciting things I've always found when working with crystals, that I would talk something beyond the crystal in a way. And, you know, just as when I'm working with people in regression, say, we're talking to their higher self because that's what's got the answers. It's higher because it's not as densely incarnated. It's got access to the whole of the soul's journey, the soul's plan. And the crystals are the same. And Mike Eastwood calls it the crystal oversoul, and I find that a useful term to use. So when we're working in the workshops, when we're tuning in and asking the crystals to tell us what they want to do, we're actually talking to the crystal oversouls, and they've got so much wisdom. And they seem to mention they are totally alive. They're probably more alive than we are. You know,
yes.
You know, it's wonderful. And the connection between all the crystals and the earth, the whole family of quartz, say, is so amazing because it's all around the world, literally. And I love the description of quartz as the bones of Mother Earth or the brain cells of Mother Earth. It really gives you a sense of, yes, they're conscious, they're active, they have a part to play. And people sometimes criticise and say, well, why are you taking them out of the earth then? And we asked the crystals, was this an okay process? And what they said was that they were very grateful, the ones that were able to come out and work with us. They weren't so keen on being taken out and taken to the crusher. But one of them pointed out, I thought it was great insight, that even if they're made into paint, they can still radiate their consciousness into the world.
Yes.
And, you know, I hadn't thought of that before. Mm. I thought, oh, we know they're in spark plugs, we know they're in watches, we know they're in computers. And they're part of computer consciousness, so therefore they're going all around, they're going into the internet. It's so multi-layered. That's what interests me, you know, that's what gets me fired up, that it isn't just an inert lump of rock.
Yes, and it's, well, in that sense, and thinking of the oversoul as well, they are working with everybody right now, even if people aren't awake to this, you know. It's just reminding me how you and I are speaking right now is through their ability.
Mm. And people don't stop to think about that, but they're still using the properties of the crystals, even though they're not aware of it. And then other people are obviously more aware and begin to interact much more with the crystals. And in the end, you know, if we really use the crystals properly, I don't think we'd need a computer and the internet. They'd connect up and talk anyway, you know.
So what a lovely, lovely thought to think at how this interview, how you and I are speaking right now, and then how our interview and all other interviews that go out through the internet are actually being fueled by the Crystal Kingdom.
It's great, isn't it?
Isn't that lovely. Amazing? Yeah, amazing. Yeah, so a lot of gratitude there for us. Now, listening to you speaking about the oversouls, that you mentioned a few moments ago, what came to me was really just to is that for all of us, and maybe many of the people listening to this program, maybe their access so far has been to maybe crystals in the sort of high street shops, the tumble stones that we all come across, that maybe need a good cleanse, need a good charge, all that kind of thing. But if we actually link into the oversoul concept, then even this maybe small crystal that, you know, is a little bit tired, we can link into its greater powers, to its family, can't we? And access all its wisdom.
Yes. And one of the things that I do quite often with stones is if I've got a big one here, a big version here, say, and I want to send one to someone to use. So I put the little stone onto the big one and ask that the power of the big one and the oversoul will travel with the little one to the person that it's going to. I call it borrowing benefit or borrowing virtue, because it doesn't matter then how big the crystal is. It can be tiny, but it's still got all this potent power. And I think that's something that I'd really like to say, is to remind people to ask the crystal to work with them. You know, people will say to me, oh, this crystal doesn't work, oh, they're useless, blah, blah. And I can sort of turn around and say, you actually ask the crystal to work with you. And they look blank. And they'll say to me, this crystal used to work and it stopped working. And I say, well, are you cleansing it? Are you letting it recharge? And they, again, you know, they look blank. And it's so easy to forget. If you live like me, surrounded by crystals. My crystals are very busy working to protect me from the electricity substation opposite. So normally, every week, I clean all the crystals. I make sure they've been recharged. And I've just had a month where I've barely been home for more than about 3 nights. And this morning I went round to see all my crystals and give them all a good clean, because I could feel how tired they were, having worked for a month without being cleansed and recharged.
Okay, yeah.
And you really have to remember that the crystal that's sitting there looking pretty might actually be doing a really good job for you, but it needs cleansing regularly to keep it on top form.
It's I think it's the key, isn't it? Is actually seeing the crystals as living beings.
Yes.
It's and when we remember that, it's kind of sorted. That's it, really. We take care of them as living beings.
And I think the other side of the key is to recognise they're far more intelligent than us quite often.
Yes.
And to respect that. If you treat them with respect, if you treat them with love, they send you love in return, and they'll do all they can for you. Mm. And they'll open up some amazing ideas in your head if you let them.
Mm. Yeah, so can we talk a little bit about the high vibration crystals? I know we've mentioned it already, but maybe just expand on that a little bit so that people can understand what is meant. When you talk about the high vibration crystals, which you do in your Crystal Prescriptions 2 book, and also the third book that's coming out at Christmas, are they actually new stones that we haven't seen before, or are they extra properties that we are now learning about, or a bit of both?
A bit of both. A lot of new in quartzes, for instance, are coming out, like the trigonic quartz, which has triangular markings coming down in a sort of stream. It looks rather like light streaming down through the top of the crystal. I don't know if you've seen them. They're quite extraordinary.
I haven't.
So they're a basic quartz. Yes, that, you know, they are a quartz. But they told us that they were infused with star beings, and they were soul crystals, and they will take you, if you're doing soul work, they'll take you to where you can really understand your whole soul's journey. They'll help you to heal blockages and things like that, but much more they are about getting your energies, your essence, to its purest vibration. So that you can, the only way I can describe it is raise your awareness, raise your consciousness, and expand it and open up and realize that there is so much more than this just very physical level that we inhabit. So they, and quite a lot of the new crystals are quartz-based, like even the Lemurians, which have been around a little bit longer, and an andalite. They're varieties of quartz. But even some of the ones that have been around a lot longer are actually getting an increase in vibration. You know, for a long time, moldavite was deemed to be a very high vibration quartz. Meteorite. So it had come in from outer space, brought information in. And then it seemed to get overtaken by these high vibration quartzes and other things that are being found. And then all of a sudden it was like somebody gave it an uplift. It was like a computer getting a new program, an update.
Mm.
And it was fascinating to feel the difference. And what I did was put all my moldavite together and say, you know, can we have the best uplift possible for these? Can we really get them full of this new vibration, this new energy? And you could actually feel it. And I call it higher because the only way I can describe it is it lifts up. It's a finer, lighter vibration, a much more spiritual sense rather than a dense physical sense. I'm not saying the dense physical sense is bad. We need some earthing crystals as well, but we need these finer vibrations. But then you get things like malachite, which has been around. I mean, that is talked about in the Egyptian and the Mesopotamian texts. So 7,000-8,000 years it's been around and been used as a healing stone.
Mm.
But that would really, for me, what I was using it for in past life work was to literally drag up to the surface all the very deep stuff that was holding people back, that their deepest programming that they weren't aware of. And then all of a sudden that also seems to have had an uplift. It's still doing that work. It's still sort of purging and bringing up the dross, if you like. But it seems to be transmuting it a lot faster. So it's not such a traumatic process. And then again, it takes you to this much more vibrant, much more spiritually aware level, all within the same stone. So yes, I think, is it the oversouls? Is it something else? You know, a higher presence still that's actually putting new vibrations, new resonances, new essence into some of the existing crystals. We've got both.
Yeah, I guess as I listen to you, I'm just becoming very aware that possibly we can only access these new energies when we are in specific spaces ourselves. So,
yes, I mean, it's one of the things I do emphasize, that you've got to have cleaned out, done your housekeeping for yourself, get your energies into the best possible space or state, and then you can access these things. Otherwise, you either become totally ungrounded, and what I call away with the fairies, you know, so you're no good to anybody because you aren't able to be coherent about what you're doing. And very often people like that, they're all sweetness and light, but there's this very dark shadow energy which they're rejecting. And it'll come up and bite them eventually. So I think, you know, go down into your shadow energies, embrace them, welcome them, because shadow energies have a lot of gifts for us. I just did a workshop, a retreat in Glastonbury on Pluto, the planet who really is all about everything we've repressed, but is also about transformation. And, you know, every shadow quality has a gift to offer us within it. And being in the dark, which you have to go when you are working with Pluto and Pluto stones, things like obsidian, you go down into the depths. And you actually have to welcome the dark, not see it as something frightening. It's a beneficial dark light. It's the complement to light.
Yeah.
And we were putting people into obsidian grids from Turnheim, and Lily did some planetary grids. So we laid one of those out and put people in. And they were releasing stuff that they'd been holding on to for lifetimes, not just years. And the transformation was immediate. It was incredible. But you have to go in unafraid and recognize that actually this is part of your work, just as much as bringing in light from higher sources is. You have to find that deep within yourself as well.
Feels very shamanic, what you're describing.
Oh, it is. Extremely.
Yeah.
I love doing shamanic journeys with crystals. They are so brilliant for that.
Yeah.
There's on my website, there's a list of shamanic crystals. And it's one of the most downloaded, it's been on there for years, but it is still downloaded all the time. People love using crystals for shamanic work.
Yeah.
And that's what, the crystals love doing it as well. That's what they enjoy, taking you places you wouldn't go otherwise.
Yes, yes, and that, I think this is what the raising consciousness is about, isn't it? It's, people have been doing this forever, it's just it's becoming just you offering the workshop that you just described, and it the transformation's happening really quickly for people, shows us that we're ready now.
Well, I think, you know, as an astrologer, we are shifting from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius. It's something that happens every so many thousand years, you know, it's a natural cycle. But I have been saying for a long time, we can't take all the gross stuff from Pisces, which was in one sense an age of enlightenment because people wanted to be spiritual, but equally it was about guilt and it was about sacrifice. And just look at the religions that were around that came out of the age of Pisces. They're not really practicing sweetness and light on this earth, are they? You know, they're practicing fundamentalism and goodness knows what, a lot of them. And we can't take all that into the age of Aquarius, which is the age of enlightened humanity. So I think what's happening at the moment, one of the reasons so many crystals have appeared, new crystals have appeared, to help us shift in this process is, you know, we have to do our work. And I think a lot of people, the crystal workers especially, but other people as well, have actually incarnated now at this time to do that kind of work on behalf of the whole.
Yeah.
So if enough of us do it, if enough of us clear it,
yes,
then we can shift into Aquarius. I mean, it's going to happen anyway because it is the end of a cycle and the start of another one. But whether it happens with grace and ease depends on how many people have got themselves ready to make the shift,
yeah,
and to turn around and help other people.
Yeah.
And I think that's the other part of this, is the crystals really encourage helping everybody and not seeing yourself as superior. Oh, I've got there. You know. Oh, you hear this so often, mm-hmm, in the whole spiritual world. Oh, you know, I've got there.
Mm.
And they almost look down on the people who haven't made it yet, instead of saying, come on, let's all do it together. Let's see if we can work together.
Mm.
And the crystals are saying, come on, get on with it.
Mm.
You are all the same. You are all made of star material. I love that description when,
yes,
the crystals said, I'm star material made manifest.
Wow.
And you know, it is. It's coming. Our Earth was formed out of cosmic dust.
Mm.
And I was told by one of the crystals that I asked what consciousness was, because, you know, we talk about it very glibly, don't we? And I've been looking at all the descriptions. Did it come from the brain? I was going, no, the brain's just something that consciousness uses to express itself. And so I said, well, what is consciousness? And this crystal, which happened to have come from outer space, of course, said, consciousness is cosmic dust, and cosmic dust is consciousness. It's everywhere. And I love that.
Mm. Yes.
So, you know, next time you're walking on the Earth, just think, actually, I'm walking on outer space as well.
Yes.
It's a fabulous concept.
It's a lovely way of bringing it all together, isn't it?
Mm.
Okay, well, it's, as we thought before we began, I think we could talk for a long, long time.
Yes.
We're coming to the end of the time now. So would you share with everybody how they can access all of your books, but in particular your new Crystal Prescriptions books?
Well, I always encourage people to go to Amazon, actually, and buy from Amazon, because the more they buy, the more Amazon promote the books, and therefore it takes it to a wider audience. But my website, which is www.judyhall.co.uk, has details of all the books. My Crystal Judy Hall and Crystal Bible Facebooks always have details of the workshops and any new books. And if you want to buy crystals from me, you go to www.angeleditions.co.uk, which is a site that my daughter keeps. And we only sell a few crystals. We don't sell huge numbers. But they have all been charged up by me, and I usually tune in to see at least the beginning of the process of what they're going to do for people.
Oh, wow.
So that's where to go for information.
How lovely that you've got your family working with you.
Yes, it's great, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, so your Crystal Prescriptions Volume 2, having had a look at it myself, I see there's over 1,200 symptoms listed.
Yes. And symptoms really have to be in quotes, because it's not just physical stuff.
Mm.
But we had to have a way of putting it into the directory.
Yes.
And when Crystal Prescriptions 3 comes out for the EMF, that's got some very practical ways of protecting yourself and dealing with the symptoms that you do get from EMF sensitivity. But also it's got protective layouts for houses and healing the earth. But maybe we'll have to have another
talk
on that one.
Definitely around Christmas time, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, because there's a whole wealth of information that people need to know about there. Well, thank you, Judy. I've really enjoyed talking to you and connecting with the crystals. As we've been talking, I've been looking at all the crystals on my desk and really just thanking them for being with me, and going to have a better chat with them after we finished.
That's great. I mean, if people want to learn how to do that, I've got a book called Crystal Experience, and it takes you through it step by step.
Wow.
And it's got a CD with it, with music and instructions. So
wonderful.
It really helps people to connect.
Mm. Yes, well, your website has a wealth of information, videos. It's a whole world in itself. So I encourage everybody to go and visit your judyhall.co.uk. Wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Judy.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
You're
listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature.